You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
So if you have your Bibles, would you open them to Psalm 127? 127, we're going to be looking at verse 3 to 5. And let me begin in this way. One of the most amazing books I've read recently is one called The Dad Difference by Brian Loritz, and where he basically uses in that book just like a list, like just as his main illustration. He says that you can either be a tailwind parent or you can be a headwind parent. That when it comes to the topic of children, you can either be a headwind or you can be a tailwind. And even today as we're looking at this, this is a wisdom psalm. And I think that really at the end of the day, it's going to be calling us to actually either just be a headwind in the life of our children or being tailwinds. And you know, when you have tailwinds behind you, there's a reason why, like sometimes you're in that plane and you hear the pilot says, "Hey guys, we got here pretty quick because the wind was on our side." And that's what tailwinds do. They push you further and they actually make it easy for you to get to the destination. And then when it comes to headwinds, and there's sometimes when you're holding on to dear life and you can feel the knots in your stomach because you're hitting turbulence and all that stuff. And it just, when you hit headwinds, it can get hard. And so I love scripture in this very way, that it helps us even when it comes to how we are raising a family. It actually just even presents to us this whole idea that we can either be headwinds or we can be tailwinds in the lives of our children as well. And let me just kind of like say this way before we go deep into this. If you're in a college student, you're in here, maybe you are single, maybe you don't have children, or you're an empty nester, this also applies to you. Because maybe actually like at some point, I want to say this, and maybe this is something very obvious to you, but maybe some of it might not be obvious, because it can be very easy for you to discount this. But did you know that you were once a child, right? Right? And this scripture is going to help you to recognize, like, to see yourself the way God sees you. Like, to see yourself the way God sees you. And some of us, a lot of stuff has happened to us, and where we have just, like, the lies that we've gotten to believe simply because we don't see ourselves the way God sees us, right? And not only that, some of us are uncles, some of us are aunts, some of us are going to have, in the future, we're going to have children. And so this right here, some of this might not be applying to you right now, in the right now and now of your life, but this is something that's going to be helpful in the future. And then also, it's going to be very helpful for some of you guys, it's going to be very helpful for you on how you interact with that family that you see coming in. I've got 6 kids. And it's very interesting when I take them to the store, and it's always like their belief of what children are just shows up right there and there. It's like, "Oh, I feel so bad for you." I'm like, no. These are gifts, right? Anyway, so here, what we're going to see here, and verse 3 says that children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward. And so what I actually want us to see here is that we need God's blueprint on how we view children. And here Solomon affirms that children are God's gifts, and they are signs of God's blessing in our lives. If you can walk away with one thing, it's going to be this. When God's view of children becomes ours, it transforms both our attitude and our actions towards them. when God's view becomes ours, and which is what I pray for this morning, that you would adopt God's view for every child, every human being, and then when it becomes yours, then it affects your actions towards them. And there's something beautiful. The Bible calls us children of God as well. So here we see in verse 3 a call to think wisely about children. This is a wisdom psalm, and it's going to say this is pushing us away from thinking foolishly about children. It says they are a heritage from the Lord, right? From the Lord. In order for you to be a tailwind parent, you first of all will have to change your mind and recalibrate. Maybe for you, it's not changing your mind. Maybe for you, it's upgrading what you're thinking about your children. Right. The other day I was working with my daughter was trying to, she's trying to learn my language, Zulu. She's trying to learn that language. And as she's trying to learn, she came with her iPad and she had her iPad and she was like, I'm trying to actually put this app called Duolingo in my iPad. And she couldn't get it on there. And it actually clearly said, in order for you to install this, you will have to upgrade. You'd have to upgrade. And some of us, like in order for this to land, you'd have to really begin to beg the Spirit to upgrade your heart in terms of like change the way you see your children, right? Children are a gift, and to enjoy them as blessings requires a proper perspective and attitude towards them. And so let's recognize their origin. Children are a gift, and we see if this was male showing up at your doorstep, every child has like the sender in there. It says from the Lord. From the Lord, made by the Lord, designed by the Lord, according to Psalm 139. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You saw my frame before even they came. And this is God. He made them in his image, Genesis 1:27. So they have this intrinsic value that you have no right to lower or anything, because the God, he's the one who actually determines their value. And that's every human being. Right? The intrinsic value in within, made by God. Just like every one of your shirts right now, you take it, there's a label at the back. If you were to take your soul, your heart, behind every single person that you see behind them, they is actually made by God. That's what we see here. From the Lord. Heritage from the Lord, right? That's the origin, right? Right? And you see that everywhere in within Scripture. And recognize the description here. They're called the heritage, which is actually heritage there, gives a picture of something left to an heir, entrusted to you, right? Given to you. And it just means that like you do not own your children. They're entrusted to you by the Lord. It means that you are accountable before God for the children that are actually in your household. Right? This is why we need that upgrade, right? This is like right there. This is like right there where you're watching and you're saying, God, would you please upgrade my heart? Right? And so while they are indebted to us, we are ultimately indebted to God for them. We're ultimately, and that's what the scripture checks before us. And here it says that they are actually like an expression of divine favor towards us. And it's actually really just like that word reward there. Apart from God's intervention, it's impossible to have them. Apart from God's intervention, and here actually like, and that word reward, I want to run towards what I know a lot of our couples here struggle with, right? One theologian says this, to us, modern people, the claim that children are a reward, a sign of divine favor from God, might seem particularly offensive to parents struggling with infertility. But we must recognize that many biblical verses do not pretend to be the final, to be the first and the last word on any subject. But like, take this verse. And then, and this is what he continues to say, in several biblical passages, God exhibits his love and concern for the barren woman or that family that's struggling to it by promising them joy and a family that is a home, right? And then so we see that with Hannah. We see that with different people that are really struggling, and they and God comforts them, meets them by his grace as well, right? And then at the same time, and through the gospel family, he expands what it looks like to actually now become a family, right? And through even like, if even there's even what we call spiritual motherhood and or spiritual fatherhood, there's also what we the what we see. We just celebrated right now dedicating a child, and that's like that as families, they're more vulnerable children we can open our homes to. And those are still heritage from the Lord. Still. Right? And so what this protects us from, you know, I don't know about you, but like this happens in my house over and over. What this protects us from is this problem of treating children like the way we treat Christmas gifts. No. The way at least our children treat Christmas gift. It is so crazy at the Mganda household or in every household. I see your videos, I follow your stories on the socials. Christmas gifts, we're so excited about them and we open them and we're like, oh, I got this thing. It is amazing. It's like this hoverboard, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, the next thing, and it's always like 2 hours later, it's in the pile of the other toys that they were excited about that actually like, and I'm telling you, 2 hours later, even they're just like, it's just, or maybe it's actually destroyed. I don't know how many hoverboards I've put in the trash. Just no joke. We like sometimes the parties where we do the gender reveals, pop the balloons, do all that stuff. I've seen every expression of that. We like the photos. And the likes, oh, how cute they are, how beautiful, how all that stuff. We like bragging on them. We like the cute stuff and all that. But man, what about 4 a.m. when they're colicky and you're sitting with them? Do you still see them the same way? What about when you recognize that we are all from the Adams family, all weird in some way, and you see that two-year-old hurling a toy from the other side of the room to the other, and you realize that in Adam we sinned, and I see that the sin is in there. Listen, we can go and get a degree in anything. No one has to teach us how to sin. What about at their worst, when they're wanting their way? You still see them as a gift. And so here, what the scripture calls us, if children are gifts from God, this calls us to a change of mind or an upgrade of our perspective, a change of mind. And this is a proper mindset. We need to treasure our children as we would a precious gift from our wealthy friend, because that's what they are. They are gifts from the omnipotent God. They are gifts from the mighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. Behind that day is he has blessed them with us. And then so their value never changes, right? Their value never changes. Their value never changes, even at their worst moments. Their value never changes. We like to depreciate their value. And we like to depreciate human beings' values, like their value, whenever we see them doing their worst, right, at their worst. They're highly prized, highly valued. And so can we just at least kind of make this? They're not a burden. They're not a burden to our pursuit of our self-centered goals. right? And they're not an obstacle to our calling. They are not an obstacle to our gift. They're not an obstacle to our vision and our dreams and all that. Listen, they're not. They're not. And I love this. Like, there's one of the authors that I really just I've gotten to know and gotten to really celebrate. And she goes to Stonegate, one of the churches that the church I came from in Texas, Kelly Needham. And she said this. She said, "Are my children? I give so much time to them because my children are actually a way better platform for the glory of God. They're a way better platform. If I fail here, I've failed in each and every platform. Like, it doesn't matter how much people celebrate me. Here is where God has called me. This is my first calling and my most glorious calling. To raise them up." So Jesus makes discipleship demands on the treatment of children. In Mark 10, 13, it says that people were bringing little children to him in order that he might bless them. He might lay hands and touch them and bless them. But the disciples rebuked them. And so this is actually like where at least like we need to now upgrade. And say, as followers of Jesus, how does Jesus view children? How does Jesus view me as a child? Because to him, you might be 60 years old, you're still his child, right? How does Jesus view me? And they saw children being an obstacle. Jesus here, he is rebuking them. And when disciples, and it's his disciples, they're like, you know what? And Jesus responds in indignation, right? When Jesus saw it in verse 14, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me," right? "Do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The kingdom is theirs. "Do not hinder them." And here it says that he was, that word indignant, it means aroused to anger. The object of a person's indignation reveals a great deal about that person. Jesus here is showing displeasure and he reveals his compassion and his defense for children. And he says that. And if you read Matthew 18 and 19, he says that if you offend these little ones, and he says that rather than facing me. Can you see that? Like, just think about this. Offending them rather than facing me. It's better off if a millstone is tied around your neck and going down there. Going down to the bottom of the sea rather than... I'm saying that, like, if that is the worst punishment, what more his face when we have not... when we hinder them from actually access to the kingdom of God. And access from the king to the kingdom of God here, we get to see that, like, basically what Jesus is doing here, where children are despised and neglected, we are to give them the kingdom and also learn from them, because that's what also that in the next verse, in verse 15, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a little child will never enter it." Do you realize here also what's happening? That if we do not upgrade or repent of how we see our children, we're forfeiting a grace that's also coming to us. That is also a tool for God to sanctify us. You know why? Because here, to receive the kingdom as of God as a child is to receive it as one who has no credits, right? No clout, no claims. Right, and one theologian said this, "A little child has absolutely nothing to bring. Whatsoever a child receives, he or she receives it by grace." Right, you as a parent go and work hard and they receive it by grace, not through their effort, but vicariously through your efforts. They receive it by grace on the basis of sheer neediness rather than any merit inherent of in him or herself. Little children are pictures of what disciples need to look like. Only empty hands can be filled. If you do not upgrade, you forfeit the grace that God has for you. And just watching how they come with empty hands and they're so dependent on you as a parent. So the question here is that, do you hinder children from coming to Him? And we're going to see here how sometimes that happens. And the scary part for me reading through this is that, is Jesus indignant with you and me through maybe the way we view children or the way we treat them? And part of that is just by watching them and just thinking, man, if only. And sometimes it can be so easy to be like, do you remember when we just had one? Do you remember when families that just have one are like, what are you talking about? My life is so hard. Do you remember when we just had none? We could watch movies all the time. We could go out and hang out with families. Now I have to look for a babysitter. Now I have to, right? And just things like that. But at the same time, we get tired. And we just like, and it's so easy to just say, do this because I told you so. And never tell them the why behind that. Because you are a gift from God. So one of the best ways we can actually like just help our children is actually maybe just communicating to them verbally, non-verbally, how precious they are to us. And non-verbally, we can communicate it by our time and our accessibility to them, right? Our time and our accessibility, and actually eventually communicating this, that you are more important to me than my job or any other interest that I have. And this is what the Banner Research here, the Banner Group is actually like a Christian research group, and it says this. And I want you to kind of think about this. It says this, the typical parent spends less than 1 hour per week in meaningful interaction with each of his or her children. I'm talking about meaningful interaction, 1 hour. Right? And it's got to be, we got to get a little bit more as we see how God sees them. We've got to now be able to say, okay, this has got to inform what it looks like for me in the trenches. But then at the same time, communicate also verbally to them how precious they are to you. Do you know how we communicate? Obviously, by affirmation, I love you, I care for you. But also opening this and beginning to actually upgrade how they view themselves. If you're a parent in here, or maybe you're not a parent, you would actually admit probably you've watched Toy Story. And there is a toy in there called Forky. This little toy where she takes a spork, the spoon and the fork, and takes and puts a thingy around it. And this thing basically just repeats nonstop, I am trash. And the owner of the toy keeps saying, no, you are my toy. But then the toy says, but I am trash. Why? Because someone in there actually said that this was trash and threw it in the trash. And keeps saying, I am trash. And then the owner of the toy goes, and they go on a rescue mission to rescue this. Parents, we, as people of God, are on a rescue mission. There are many narratives that are actually going according to how our children, or even like right now, even just as adults, we are dealing therapy sessions upon therapy sessions are filled with people that have this intrinsic belief in within them that I am trash. But we are now the ones that are called to actually open the word of God and say, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You You are God's child. You are made in God's image. He emptied the jewel of heaven on your behalf. He did not spare his own son. He loves you so much. He gave his own son. He died for you. He loves you. He loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. The Spirit loves you. And he loves you so much that he wants to spend eternity with you. You are not trash. According like the world says, because of the way you look, the way you think, the way you act and all that stuff. Listen, you are God's child. You are a child of the King, destined to sit next to him, before him, worshiping him gloriously for all eternity. That's our role of going and constantly just upgrading whatever belief that they have been actually told to believe. And you know, church, that's our job also as the extended family, as an extended family to every family unit to come. This is the reason why Children's Church is there. This is the reason why we do that. We do that so we can come and support. So church, it shouldn't be a burden when we're asking, hey, could you come and volunteer to actually, we're asking you to be extended family to come and actually reinforce what they influence the church, the family unit is doing, and to come in and become also partners to come and instill the truths of God, because it is actually like the words of God. It says this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from his mouth. And so why is that very important? Because this is not only just a call to think about him, it also to think, to act wisely about our children. And I love this metaphor here. It says, like arrows in the hands of the warrior are sons born in one's youth. So children are likened as what? Weapons? Right. Enjoying the blessing of godly children requires taking proper action with them. So as a parent here is pictured like a warrior in battle. And you know what that simply means? It means that as a parent, you will have to show up for training. You need consistent upgrades as well. Just like these iPhones and this, you need software upgrade. So every single day, Lamentations 3 says, there are new mercies for you every morning. You know what mercies you will find from Scripture also? If your children are jumping on your last nerves, there's mercy for that. There's grace for you to actually see them as blessing, and there's mercy for that. There's grace. He says, just like freshly brewed coffee, right? I don't know about you. Maybe you do this. Maybe you show up at your coffee pot and there's coffee that was brewed yesterday and you drink it. Ah, oh, we got to talk later about that. But every one of us, we like the freshly brewed stuff, right? Some of you kind of probably maybe you keep it. If you keep it in the fridge and it becomes cold iced coffee, we can kind of work together there. But there's mercy. So parenting is a calling that requires training. You realize what God likens you as a parent, likens you to a warrior. Right? It means that you've got to be trainable by a gift, the gift giver. Because unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers build it in vain. And I think it's also very fit here to just to imply that unless you have the Lord by your side in the parenting journey, you are doing it all in vain. You need to be asking for help. And how do you ask? And there's a reason why. And it says that there are children given to you at your youth, right? And so it means that you need to be giving them your vitality, but also use your vitality wisely. Use your energy to dive into God's word. This is what Jack Hayford says. He says, to be a blessing to our children, We simply need to become childlike ourselves, to believe God's call, to receive God's grace for the task. We need to also be childlike, right, ourselves. And John Locke says this kind of just like has kind of just rung in my head over and over. Parents wonder why streams are bitter when they themselves have poisoned the fountain. Why streams are bitter when they themselves have poisoned the fountain. And I just like this week kind of just took me a little bit and just like realized like, and I wrote it down, you know, there was a time when I was a rebellious teenager, right after my mother had passed. My stepmother came into our lives at least 3-4 months after my mother had passed. And for me, I just saw it as God, my dad was just trying to replace. And so I became rebellious and I just was like railing against everything. And I remember for a year, and I just really just like struggled. And I was just on the verge of even taking my own life. And all because like I was just struggling with a lot of grief, trying to get attention of my dad. But there was nothing there. But there's one thing that my stepmother said at the heat of the moment. She said to me, "You keep eating my food and treating me like this, I will poison you." And I stopped eating at home for the rest of the year. The whole year. And my dad would always say to me, and he would get mad at me because I would wake up at 5 in the morning, go to the gym, go to work, and then come back home. And I'd look at that plate, no matter how delicious it was, and I wouldn't eat it. And this was a year and a half, nonstop. I'd be hungry. I'd go to sleep. Drink water, that's it. And it just like, I just had to think about this, that like there's sometimes we can just poison the water, and then we're like, and it's so easy at the heat of the moment to actually like, man, why are my children acting this way? But not realizing that like, we've got to show up first of all with ourselves and check our hearts, and then just be able to say, God, would you please train me? I am in over my head. If you are in over your head and you're in over your head as a parent and you're just seeing like, just like, man, poison is all over your house, like children that have just run into a bush of poison ivy. And maybe it's time, first of all, to clean the stream. First of all, it's going to be here, right? To run to the Lord. I love, at least the gospel says this, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, so that the parent who is under God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I want to just implore you, the good work you're doing in your home, you can't do it by yourself. But it says that every single morning when you open scriptures, you're showing up for training, for correction, rebuking, and train and teaching so that you're equipped for the good work. He gives gifts, but then he also instructs us on how to take care of them. Amen? Right. 1 Timothy 4:7 says that, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness, right? Titus 2, verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. And it says, instructing us. Sometimes that is translated, training us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts. And here, worldly lusts and godlessness might just be the way we view children, to live in a sensible and righteous and godly way, right? In the present age. So we change, We show up for training. But not only that, like if parents are warriors and we're training to be these warriors, what are children likened to? They are likened to arrows. And here we need to actually just like go back into like the time when this is written. No arrow, like children, like if children are like arrows, children must be shaped and sharpened. They must be shaped and sharpened. And this is actually like where no arrow begins straight and ready for battle. You know, we're spoiled, right? Like, at least we kind of at least understand that for you and me, it might be a struggle because we don't go and get sticks and begin to work with them and whittle them and do all that and make them straight and actually so that we can actually go to war. We go to sporting goods stores, and then we go and buy arrows that someone else has already worked on, right? We go buy those ones that are just like, that are already made. But in Solomon's day, you didn't go to the local goods store. Neither did you find them lying around on the ground. Sticks were not arrows by nature, and they had to be carefully shaped and sharpened. And so children are the same, right? And so this implies work on you and my part. It implies work. And then so here, the soldier who would shoot straight an arrow must spend time whittling that arrow, right? And shaping the branch into a well-fashioned arrow. So it is like that with children. This is what Derek Kidner says in his commentary. He says, it is not untypical of God's gifts that they, first of all, their first liabilities, or at least responsibilities, before they become obvious assets. The greater their promise, the more likely these sons will be a handful before they are a quiverful. They will be a handful first. And so children don't just go straight. They have to actually be actually sharpened by arrows. And that shaping and sharpening is not going to happen if you just leave them in front of the TV set all day. It's not going to happen if you don't sit down at some point and then and teach them and read scripture with them. And then not only that, begin to actually encourage them in the ways of the Lord and disciplining them and doing all that. It's not going to happen, right? So sons and daughters must be trained early to pursue righteousness, right? Proverbs 22, verse 6, we all know this. Start a youth on his way. Start a child on his way, and even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. The irony of that, because this is a wisdom saying, the irony of that is that if you don't start them on their way and give them headway, and you start them and begin to shape and sharpen them, they will actually, like someone else will. So this is what I want to probably maybe present in front of you and I. If you're not doing it, you are doing it by not doing it. So therefore, the results are still going to be there. Right? If you are not training, you're also training. Because if you do not train and shape and actually make and put guardrails, then you are saying, hey, son, the whole world is yours. And pretty soon, sooner or later, if everything is mine, very soon they will realize not everything is yours, because that's why the penitentiary system is there. It is those children that were told everything is yours, and then they discovered it wasn't theirs. And it was so hard one day when I sat down in front of a 19-year-old at the Dallas prison. And this young man who was facing 30 years plus at 19 for breaking and entering an aggravated assault and with a firearm and all that. And as we were talking and I was sitting there, he began to say to me, I just wish my parents would have told me some of this stuff. And we were talking and I'd visit him over and over. And it was hard to just hear. And so I have to talk to my children and say, son, if we don't deal with some of this stuff, it's going to show up later on. And I would rather you're mad at me at this moment. And this is for us, even children in the room here. Your parents love you so much. You know, they love you so much that when they're sitting here, they're sitting daily and they're opening scripture to you and they're telling you why sometimes you don't have to do something and why you should be nice, why you should be treating others kindly. That's simply because they want you to be. They want you to live. This is actually what scripture says. If you obey your parents, you will live a full life. Right? James Dobson says this, don't let these parenting years get away from you. Your contribution to your children and your grandchildren, grandparents, could rank as your greatest accomplishments in life. That's, just listen to at least one person highlight a mother's role and a grandmother's role. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says this to Timothy, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced it is in you also. And so we have to ask, how does Grandma Lois deposit her faith in grandson Timothy? We don't know where his dad was. We know he was Greek. How does Eunice, like, so that now Paul is like, I saw it in your grandmother. I saw it in your mother. Now I see it in you. What did that look like? What did that look like? It was time. It was like, first of all, changing your view of what children are like, and then also now going down and beginning to deposit that. And Paul now, he's actually walking and he's saying, man, Timothy, now you are sharpened and formed arrow, and now I'm sending you to the church in Ephesus. And because not only should they be shaped and sharpened, they must be directed, aimed, and released to their destination. To their destination. And this is like a well-shaped arrow must be carefully aimed at the target. And listen, arrows don't just get shot. Like, you need some training to do that. Right? I've seen a whole lot. When you go for archery, is one of the most humbling experiences. Just go, because you show up at that thing and you've got all your, and then you shoot and this thing goes this way. Why? Because you got to take a deep breath, maintain your composure. All the archers are going to come after me. Let me just stop there. But the thing about it is, listen, aim at nothing, you will hit what? Nothing every time. And there's got to be a way in which the point here is to actually keep, is to, as parents here, is actually not only just to recognize that we are going to send them as arrows one day into the world. We're going to send them as arrows into the world. And we're going to need to send them. And as we send them into the world, and the world is going to actually get to actually, like, as they see these arrows come, they will look and they will be able to see, wow, what a quality arrow that has come my way. And this arrow, and so we shape and direct these children, and they go and they shape the world. Right, so we're teaching and we're instructing them in the way of the Lord. Our game is to aim them at the target. So Satan's kingdom of darkness needs what in order for us to push back the darkness. If you read Psalm 8, it says that it actually is in the mouth of what? Our children that God has ordained praise. But we've got to first of all pour it inside within them. Right. So they must be directed and pointed, right? And not only that, armed with the gospel of Christ, and then so that they can become agents of change where God calls them eventually as well. So even that, this is our work as the church as well, to read, to continue to do that as well, right? And so just, this is a call to wisdom. The wisdom is this: shape them, like see them for what they are, and then take, now show up for training, shape them and sharpen them, and then direct them. And the result is that, is this. If you do that, happy is the man. It's a call to be wise about. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. Right? They will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gates. The city gates was where they won. It was actually where the court cases happened. It was where the defense of the family honor and the family name and the legacy. And for us, our legacy as children of God is the gospel legacy. Like if you want, as parents, and this is actually like where, like don't despise those times when you are shaping and sharpening your children. Because you and I, like it says this, when Psalm 90 for me is so helpful. Teach us to number our days. Right? Teach us to number our days. And one of the ways we actually number our days and we pray for God to establish the work of our hands is to recognize this, that our legacy is not in fortune and fame. Part of our greatest legacies as children of God is going to be what Paul actually says this, as tailwind parents, is going to be what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2. He says, but we did not give up or submit to these influences, these people, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel will be preserved for you. One of the best ways we can, this defense at the city gates, when Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When we see our children for who they are and we act wisely about them, what we begin to do, and I was thinking about it, every single time we dedicate a child here, do you realize that we're sending arrows to a period of time where you and I are not going to be there? Right? This child who's crying right now will probably see 2100. You and I won't. But now the question that's there for you and me is, if you neglect every single level one of those steps, is that generation going to look back at us and say, they didn't preserve the gospel for us by equipping these people? What is the state of the gospel in 2070? That is up to us. What is the state of the gospel in 2060? And some of us might not be here. What is it that God is saying, well done, good and faithful servant, for? Is it that you worked hard and you were the famous person and you got all the accolades? Or is it that you planted seeds of the gospel that are still yielding fruit? And we're going to see that in Psalm 128, what that really looks like. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you. And even at this moment, God, maybe you, God, I'm a parent of six. And I love my children. But I believe you love them more. And Lord, we at City Church, God, you have blessed us with children. And God, and we love them. And God, we would sacrifice anything for them. But we believe that you love them more. But God, we are inadequate And sometimes, Lord, we are tired. And sometimes we're exhausted. We're exhausted, Lord, of correcting over and over and over. But Lord, would you help us through your new mercies, even this day, by your grace? Because in you we have this great high priest who's been tempted in each and every way. Jesus, you know what it's like to walk with disciples and teach the same things and watch them fumble over and over and over. And Jesus, you know what it's like to build your church and watch it being totally messed up for ages upon ages. And even today, we're looking at 20 centuries of that. There's no one as patient as you. And Lord, in our households, we need such patience. The patience that only you give. We need an upgrade that only you give us. And Lord God, even as your children today, we need to view ourselves the way you view us. We need to love one another the way you love on us. So would you, God, Lord, where maybe condemnation and guilt is settling, would you come, Lord, and come and, Lord, show us that, Lord, you did not come to condemn, but come to extend. Be our helper and be the one we find grace in times of need. And so that, Lord, we would be those parents who are sending gospel fortified, gospel sharpened, gospel steady children into the world for your glory and for your fame. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.